Okay, so today, everyone, my lesson's going to be on God's perfect decisions in choosing imperfect people to do His will. Now, I wanted to start my... I wanted to go ahead and start my scripture reading today in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. My lesson technically is on verses 27 through 29, but I wanted to go ahead and read the whole thing. I can't leave this out. I love Paul. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, all right? Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God and our brother Sosthenes. This is hard. That was a hard name to say. To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius. So no one can say that you were baptized in my name, right? Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Jesus Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligent of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world, through its wisdom, did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, for the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Now, here's where my lesson begins. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Now, everyone, I want to go ahead and jump into my lesson today. And my lesson today, as I stated, is God's perfect decisions in choosing imperfect people to do his will. So today, everyone, I want to talk to you about a remarkable aspect of God's character, his perfect decisions in choosing those imperfect people to do his will. It's a theme that runs throughout the Bible, and it's a powerful reminder, everyone, of God's grace and mercy. From the very beginning, God chose imperfect people to fulfill his plans, all right? He chose Abraham, who lied about his wife, Sarah, and had a child with his servant, Hagar. And Abraham, the father of faith, also had a fear of failure, everyone, and doubted God's promise of a son. All right, he chose Jacob, who deceived his father Isaac, to get the blessing, okay? Jacob also struggled with favoritism and deception, and was later renamed to Israel, okay? He chose Moses, who had a speech impairment, and struggled with self-doubt, okay? He chose King David, who, by the way, is my blood ancestor through the line of his son, the prophet Nathan, okay? David, who committed adultery with multiple women and orchestrated the death of his lover's husband, okay? But God didn't stop there. He chose the apostle Paul, who I just read about, formerly Saul, who persecuted Christians with a thorn in his flesh, all right, before his dramatic conversion, all right? If a Saul can become a Paul, so can anyone turn around. This is my firm belief, okay? He chose Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times during the crucifixion in Matthew 26, 69 through 75, okay? He chose Noah, who got drunk and was uncovered by his son Ham in Genesis 9, 21. All right, let's not forget the prophet Jeremiah, who also felt overwhelmed and anxious about his calling, all right? He chose Sarah, Abraham's wife, who doubted God's promise of his son and tried to take matters into her own hands with Hagar in Genesis 16. He also chose Jonah, who tried to run from God's call to prophecy to Nineveh in Jonah 1. And Martha, sister of Lazarus, who struggled with worry, jealousy issues, and distractions, all right, while her sister Mary chose to sit at Jesus' feet in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, all right? Despite everyone, all of these flaws and struggles, God still chose and used these individuals mightily, didn't he? It's a powerful reminder, everyone, that God doesn't call the qualified. He calls the called, all right? He qualifies the called. He qualifies those who he chooses, all right? These are just some of the examples that we have in the Bible, while there are still so many more, everyone, to show that even flawed and struggling individuals can be used by God for his purposes. It's a testament to his absolute grace and mercy, everyone. God chooses those you would least expect, all right, to do miraculous jobs for him. Even the homeless, the meek, and the humble on the streets, those who you would hardly look at. Most of you who grew up in, let's say, rich environments were not taught to, let's say, pay attention to the meek and humble, but you never know who you might be entertaining. You could be entertaining an angel right there on the streets and not know it, although they may stink and be dressed in homeless clothing, okay? All right, so my whole point here is that in our limited understanding, it may seem unlikely to accomplish great feats as somebody that wasn't born of nobility, all right? But God's ways are higher than our ways, as I've said before in my previous sermons, okay? His thinking is so much higher than our thinking. We don't know his reasons for everything. We couldn't know all of his reasons for everything. And his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, everyone, all right? His choices are so far beyond our comprehension because he sees the entire path ahead of us, okay? He knows the intricacies of all of our lives, okay? Personally, every single one of us, all of our strengths and weaknesses, and all of our potential for growth, okay? He sees everything about us before we even know ourselves, okay? God's choices are not based, everyone, on our abilities or qualifications, but on his divine purposes. He chooses the weak, the foolish, and the lowly to confound the wise and the mighty, all right? I said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 through 28, he chooses those who are willing to surrender their limitations and trust in his strength, okay? He chooses those who will bring glory to himself, not those who will take credit for themselves, okay? It's not about us, it's about him. It's about doing his will, not our will, okay? Our will is thrown to the garbage once we start serving God, okay? And he chooses each of us, everyone, individually, as imperfect as we are, to carry out his purposes in the world. He doesn't wait for us to become perfect or qualified, okay? You never know when he's going to choose you. He qualifies us through his grace and empowers us through his Spirit. He calls us to step out in faith, okay? To embrace our weaknesses and to trust in all of his sufficient power. Isn't his power sufficient enough? So let us not limit God's choices by our own understanding, all right? It says in the Bible that we are to listen to him, not to our own understanding. It's not about what we know, it's about what he knows. We are to blindly trust what he says and follow. Instead, everyone, let us trust in his higher ways and embrace his call on our lives, no matter how unexpected or impossible it may seem. Remember, for God, nothing is impossible, all right? Except lying. He cannot lie. That is impossible. Why does God choose imperfect people, everyone? It's because he doesn't call the qualified. He calls the called. He qualifies the called, and he qualifies who he wants to, as I said earlier. He doesn't look for perfection. He looks for willing hearts. He doesn't want our strengths and abilities. He wants our weaknesses and vulnerabilities. Now, remember in my earlier sermons when I said that if you admit your weakness, he will give you strength. Don't you believe that? You see, everyone, God's power is made perfect in our absolute weakness, okay? It's when we acknowledge our limitations and dependence on him that he can work through us in ways that surprise and absolutely amaze us, all right? When we embrace, everyone, our imperfections and surrender to his will, not our will, he can use us to accomplish far more than we could ever imagine, okay? His imagination is so far beyond us, all right? This is because, everyone, God's strength is not hindered by our weaknesses, okay? In fact, he often chooses the most unlikely people to accomplish his great works, all right? Think about it, all right? A young shepherd boy like David defeats a giant like Goliath, all right? A fearful and doubting Abraham becomes a father of faith, and a group of uneducated fishermen and tax collectors become the apostles who spread the message of Jesus Christ to the world, all right? So let's not be fooled, everyone, by our limitations or allow fear or self-doubt to hold us back, all right? Instead, everyone, let's embrace his power, all right? God's power. Let's embrace his will. And remember, it's not about our abilities or our qualifications, but it's about his grace and power working through us, okay? So I want everyone, for you to think about this, all right? I want you to let this liberating truth sink deep inside your heart. God's perfect decisions in choosing imperfect people are a testament, everyone, to his grace and mercy. He doesn't require our perfection. He desires our obedience, all right? In fact, Scripture says that the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, all right? And by that, I do mean respectfully fear him, all right? In those who hopes in his mercy, all right? Psalm 147:11, our imperfections, everyone, and weaknesses are not a hindrance to God's plan, but rather they provide a canvas for his grace and power to shine through. All right? God doesn't demand our strength or ability. He longs for our surrender and dependence on him. As Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. All right? In John chapter 15, verse 5. All right? Our weaknesses become opportunities, everyone, for God's strength to be made perfect. As Paul testified, when I am weak, then I am strong. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. All right? So let us, everyone, embrace our limitations and trust that God's power is made perfect in our weaknesses. Ultimately, everyone, God's choices are not about our worthiness or qualifications, but about his sovereign purposes and plans. He chooses us not because of who we are, but because of who he is. Okay? God, a God of grace, mercy, and absolute love. All right? As Scripture declares, everyone, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, according to the good pleasure of his will, in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 5.
May this truth, everyone, humble us, okay? Inspire us and compel us to surrender our lives to His perfect will, all right? So closing up today, everyone, as we walk with God, let's remember that our imperfections are not barriers to His plan, all right? They are, in fact, the very platform upon which He can showcase His power and glory. All right, our weaknesses, our fears, and our doubts, our limitations, these are the very places where God's strength, wisdom, and grace can shine through us, okay? Through every one of you. All right, may we embrace our weaknesses, everyone. Trust in His strength, all right, and allow Him to use us for His perfect purposes. May we surrender our need for control and perfection, everyone, and instead offer ourselves as a humble vessel for His use, okay? May we remember that God's power, everyone, is made perfect in our weaknesses and that His grace is sufficient for us, okay? In our moments of doubt, everyone, and uncertainty, may we lean on His promises, not our promises, not our understanding, but His, and trust that He's working all things together for our good. In Romans chapter 8, verses 28, all right? May we draw near to Him, everyone, and find strength in His presence. And may we be filled with the confidence that comes from knowing that God's power and glory are revealed in our weaknesses, not despite them, all right? Amen, everyone, and hallelujah. Thank you, everyone. Thank you so much.